It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're studying the book of Philippians. We're continuing in the same area, such a sweet part of the Word of God. And we're in Philippians chapter 2, from the 12th through the 16th verse. We'll really be starting on the 14th verse, but I'd like to just read from the 12th through the 16th verse. Philippians chapter 2 will begin with verse 12. While you're opening your Bibles to that scripture verse, and if you've been with us before, you probably already had it open to there. But if not, please open that precious word of yours open to the scripture text that we're going to read so that you can enjoy it as well. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. And we just do in so love and enjoy studying the Word of God. We will be reading now from Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin the study today. Father, I do thank you that we have an opportunity to come, and it's just such a joy to study the Word of God, and we can come together. And I just ask, Lord, that you'll touch every heart. You know the need today. You know that Father, the multitude of people that are out there that are lost, that have never been saved. And so sad to say that many folks, Father, are probably church people that have never come to know you as their Savior, never have become personally acquainted with you. And Lord, I ask that happen today. I ask that they listen so carefully that they meet you at the cross of Calvary, where you offered your life for theirs. And please, Lord, that you can do a mighty work there. And then, Father, whatever the needs might be to the believers, that you can take care of those needs. If folks are sick, that you would choose to heal. If they are spiritually sick, that you'll help them to build and be lifted up, Lord. Whatever the need. If they're confused about something concerning the Word, I ask, Lord, that you'll pull them into your Word and instruct them in your Word. And if, Father, they are a believer, the Holy Spirit lives within them, and they have the same teacher that I have and everyone else has that's saved. So they can learn the Word of God if they'll just take time to search it and study it. Now, Father, please, that you take the small study that we have this few minutes today, and we'll just touch the hearts and the lives with it. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have been working through this area of Scripture again for many weeks. It is too sweet of an area of Scripture to move too quickly through. We have do all things in verse 14. I mentioned earlier we'd be starting in verse 14. Do all things. Now, we've kind of touched a little bit on the murmuring and disputing, and we'll come back on that just a little bit. But the important thing here is that to do all things. And that doesn't mean that you have to spread yourself so thin that you're just trying to do a little bit every place you go. But it is so important that you see the need and the work that needs to be done in carrying out the gospel of the Lord Jesus, in helping to maintain the place of worship, the local church, the building and the property, and again, most important, and that is that you take time to search your word so that you can take the word of God out to others and tell them that Jesus died for them and Jesus saves. It's so important to do that. Do all things. Now, as we work, it's very easy. Very easy. I've been involved with church work for many, many years, and it's very easy to be a little on the aggravated side, be on the put out side. And when you're kind of that way, I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. When you get that way, it just doesn't seem like anything helps. And also, it's very easy to begin to murmur a little bit, begin to question, and no longer do you listen. And it seems as though that when you kind of get to that place when you're working very hard, and many times the reason you get that way is because maybe you're the only one that seems like doing anything. And so could be that somebody come up and said something to you that maybe isn't working as hard in the church as you are, and they come up in a kind of a criticizing manner and question something you were doing. And so it's very easy for us to sit back and say, well, if that's the way it's going to be, I'm just not going to do anything at all. Or again, to begin to question the many things that go on in the church, whether it be the preaching of the word, the work around the building, and all of a sudden, instead of being someone that's helping, we become people that criticize, and as the scripture says here, we murmur and dispute. And when we get that way, there's only one way to come out of it. And number one, we need to forget everybody else around us, to whether they are or not working properly. Maybe they're doing the job that they're supposed to be doing. Maybe they're not. But that's not our worry. Our worry is me. And that is, am I doing what God wants me to do? And am I doing it the way God wants me to do it? And if I am doing that, and then where it says here, verse 13, to back up a little bit, for it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. If you have surrendered your will to him, and this is what happens when we come out of sorts a little bit, and it's very easy to happen. Very quickly it can happen. And all of a sudden, why we look around, and again, maybe someone criticized us for something they did. Maybe it's somebody that said they were going to do something and didn't. And you continue to work alone in carrying out whatever's necessary to be done. I've been there, and it is almost a constant battle to have people that do what they say they're going to do. And it needs to be so careful that we do not become murmurers and disputers or become critical of the others. We need to take the time to take those people to prayer, and I don't mean physically to prayer. I mean that we pray for them, and we lift them people up and say, God, please, that they would receive the blessings of the Lord, that they, Father, would see the need of the church, they, Father, would begin to soul win and tell people that Jesus saves, and watch those folks that are dead and lost in their sin be revived and made alive again because of the precious blood of Jesus. And come to our knees and hide away in our prayer closet long enough that we can let God know that we want those people to move, and we want them to be ready to serve and get the blessings of serving. But instead of that, we let things bother us a little bit, and it's usually another Christian, it's usually another brother or sister, or something they do or something they say, and it just gets to us, and we just can't get beyond it. And then it becomes so difficult, and I know it becomes so difficult not to murmur and not to dispute, not to question, and not to cause a little turmoil and everything. I just ask that you go before the Lord and you set your eyes unto him, and you say, please, Lord Jesus, that you would give me victory over this person that I'm having trouble with, or the church that I'm having trouble with. Lord, I know they preach the word. Maybe that's not the case. Maybe the Holy Spirit's dealing with your heart, and the reason you've become a murmurer and a disputer is because the word's not preached where you're at, and you've listened to the word long enough, possibly through this radio program, that God's convicting your heart. And you need to come to that church, go to the leadership of that church and say, why are you not telling people that Jesus saves? Or why are you not telling people the truth, the Word of God. How come you've compromised it? How come you've stopped telling the truth? Maybe that's something you need to do. And if they refuse to change, then you need to change. Change churches. Be someplace where they preach the Word of God and tell people how to be saved, and then build them, take the Word of God and grow them in the Word. It's so important that we get things worked out. But the only way it can get worked out is not shoved underneath the rug, not swept under the rug. It can be dealt with only with a heart that turns unto the Lord and again goes immediately unto Jesus and says, Jesus, I can't get over this. I can't work through this. You need to help me. And I guarantee you that He will. And the whole purpose of this, we find in verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. There's an awful lot of people and a lot of programs and things coming from the outside all the time that's beating down the door of the local church. Many things say they're here to help to build up the local church, but when you look through the face of it, the beginning of it, you can see that it is not for the building of the local church. The only way that we'll grow and build closer in the local church is if we come together and study His precious Word and grow together. Let that Holy Spirit, you know, and the Scripture tells us, where two or more are gathered, I will be there. And it's a special promise and a special blessing that He'll give us. And so, not only when you're trying to work out things yourself, it would be great if you had a brother or a sister that was in the Lord that you knew very well, that you could trust, and we all should be that way, that you could go to them and know that they wouldn't blab it everywhere, but they could come and say, I really have a burden here, and I need your prayer that we can have victory over this. And that's not murmuring and disputing, that's trying to get victory over your life yourself. It's also trying to get victory and see that the church will grow and to build stronger. But the whole purpose, again, that we may be blameless and harmless sons of God. You know, to be blameless is to set our life to be here at church, and I'm talking about the local church, the body of believers, to come and to build up other believers. To come with a smile on your face and a joy in your heart. Come with a burden in your soul that you will help with this class, or help with this part of the church, or that part of the church. The prayer that needs to go forth, the regular daily work. You know, a lot of times the housework and the daily chores are things that not man or woman, either one, like. That daily grind, you might call it, every day. Well, you know, to an extent, we have the same thing at the church. You have the same things that need to be done week after week, and almost day after day, they need to be taken care of. Well, it is kind of a burden to a lot of people sometimes, because if it gets a lot of people don't realize what has to be done from one week to the next. And so, again, that's a good spot where somebody can start murmuring. Either the one that thinks everything is going to be perfect when they walk inside the church, and if it isn't, they complain. Or you could have the one on the other end that's been working all week, and then they hear the complaints of someone that came in that never entered the church from one Sunday to the next Sunday, and yet they come in and they're critical of something that's going on, and yet they never step foot in the church all week long to help or to do anything in caring for the building, for the going out door to door to knock on some doors to win people to Jesus, to make hospital visits. There's so many things that need to be done, and again, including bathing these things in prayer and the love of God. And so, you know, when we come together, when we say harmless here in the 15th verse, blameless and harmless, it is that we must serve and be very sincere in our service to God. It is very, very important that we are serious. We take our work very, very serious, and I'm speaking of the work of Christ. That work is to discipline ourselves with the power of the Holy Spirit to be in the house of God, to search the Word of God, discipline ourselves when a brother or sister gets under our gets under that and aggravates us a little bit. Discipline ourselves to know where to go for help. And yes, go to the Word of God. Or yes, you can come to another brother or sister. And they, I hope they will bring you to the Word of God. Because you see, that's the only power, that's the only strength. We don't need a psychologist, we don't need psychiatrist. We need the true holy God that will guide and lead us. And the only thing you need help with is to bring you to that Word. As shepherd of this church, my responsibility is to bring you into the Word of God and to show you the Word of God. Now, if the only time that the folks here at church see the Word of God is on Sunday morning, they are starving to death. But by the study of the Word of God and by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit while we're proclaiming the Word, teaching the Word, then that Word will be applied, and I believe that Word will be picked up all week long and be read and be studied on a daily basis. And we know that is a requirement, something that we need to have in order to grow and get beyond. But please, that we take it very seriously. That we do not to be harmless and blameless, to be sincere and serious about the service of God and the service of the church and the service of the local church that we should have. But then also, it is that we're so careful that we do not harm. There's something that we do that when we're here, and you know, when you're not here, people don't realize that. When you are not in the house of God, you are harming other believers. Because if that's your local church and you're not there, there are other needs there that believers have, and you're ignoring those needs. You're ignoring that time to come together to try to help. Now you say, now I've never once said something wrong against another person. Maybe you haven't. But my friend, if you've lacked to be there, that may have been that one time when that brother or sister really needed to visit with you just a few minutes, maybe before church or maybe after Bible study, just needed to talk to you. Or maybe it wasn't a one-on-one at all, but just to see you there and something you said during the Bible study was just enough that you say, yes, now I understand. But you see, by you not being there, you can be harming the body of Christ. You can be hurting someone. And I know that you don't mean to. I know that you don't want to. And even when we murmur and dispute, we don't want to do that. But sometimes we just can't quite get over the hump. We just can't quite get beyond that. Well, there's only one way to do it. And that is to take the truth, the Word of God. First of all, of course, you must be a Christian. You must be born again. There's only one way that you can be born again. There's only one way that you can be saved. There's only one way that you can have your sins taken away, and that is to come to Jesus Christ and meet Him at the cross. You hear me many times, and you will continue to hear me time after time, tell you to go to the cross of Calvary. Because right there, by the Holy Spirit directing you, right there you will see the sacrifice that was offered for you. And you can say, yes, I need to be saved. My sins need to be forgiven. Please, Lord, will you save me? And I ask that you very carefully and you look into your heart. And you know, when we look at the armor of God, why, there is a helmet of salvation. And I believe that helmet of salvation stands for you knowing that you're saved. And yes, we have a breastplate of righteousness that we have, and that is given to us, a breastplate of righteousness to protect our heart, a helmet of salvation to know that you're a believer in Jesus Christ, know that Jesus died for you and Jesus is keeping you. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Sealed means to be kept, never, never to fall away, never to be lost. Oh, the day you meet Jesus, and anybody, any of you folks that are listening right now, can become a child of God. Please, that you trust, come by faith. Believe it. Believe it and come to Jesus today. It's so important that we understand not only to be a child of God, but now that the responsibility and the work that's set before us. And as we are doing that work, as we are faithful to the church, there are things that we need to be careful of. And one of them is that we are kind of troublemakers. And when we become troublemakers, then it causes turmoil within the church. And as long as there's turmoil within the church, people are not going to be saved. If you're preaching the truth and preaching the Word of God and you've got an instigator out there that's causing trouble, almost immediately people stop getting saved. And it's important that be dealt with. And I ask you, as a member of the body of Christ, a member of the body, the church, that you take care of it. That someone doesn't have to come to you and discipline you, but that you recognize what the problem is. Maybe you say, I see the problem, I just don't know what to do about it. Well, I'm helping you today. I'm helping you because I know the Word of God and continue to grow in the Word of God, but I know the answer. The answer is coming to Jesus. You say, I've already been saved. I know Jesus Christ. You need to come back to Jesus, not for salvation, but back for the power and the feeding of His Word. Come back that the Holy Spirit can show you the life and the power and the strength, how to live, how to walk, how to talk. All can come from the Word of God. All can come from that joyful study of the Word of God. That's where the power is at. That's where the strength is at. But be careful that you don't hurt someone. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, you are. Yes, you are. There is a responsibility. Many people do not want that responsibility. They do not accept the call that they have. They do not accept the profession that they have. You know, it's so important that we understand the verse 2, clear back in the second chapter, verse 2, fulfill ye my joy that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. That's the goal that we have, not disputing. Do all things. Oh, be so busy in doing the work of God. Involve yourself, involve your family, involve all that will come together. Work together. You don't have to do it by yourself. Work together. That they see you working, they see you serving, that you take it very seriously, that you know that the work is so important. And you know, to do it again without murmuring, without disputing, to be busy about working. You know, as we look in John, 3 John, verse 12, there's only one chapter in 3 John, the 12th verse, we have a man, Demetrius, and says, he hath a good report of all men, and of the truth itself. I love that. He not only has a good report of man, but he also has a good report when he lines himself up with the Word of God, the truth, and of the truth itself. You see, a lot of times people will like you because you do what they want you to do. But this man here had two. He had a good report among men, but he also, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. Now I hope that you line yourself up with the truth. Again, not some church doctrine. If you find that church doctrine to be contrary to the Word of God. And please, every one of us, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a member of the church. And if you're a member of the church, then you have, and if you're a believer, immediately you get the Holy Spirit to move in, live within your heart. Upon this taking place, you have the teacher. You have the Word of God. Now, if you're sitting down, maybe you haven't been saved but a few months, and all of a sudden you're reading the Word of God and you're saying, that's not what the leadership of this church tells us. That's not what the leadership of this church is doing. Now, I'm very careful to speak of the leadership of the church. Now, you may have folks in your church that are not living up to what the Word of God says, and if you'll look at yourself, you'll be the same as I will be the same, not living up to everything of the Word of God. Now my heart and my goal is that I live up to the Word of God, that I do the Word of God, that I stay in the truth. But if you have someone that is just attending your church, maybe they're not even saved, and maybe they still live like the devil all the time. They do this and they do that, and you can't tell that they've even been born again. You can't tell any change at all. Now those people, if they do not have a quiet, contrite heart, have no business in leadership positions in your church. You know, a lot of times what happens, it becomes a kind of a popularity contest. And I'll serve for 2 years, and then you serve for 2 years, and then we'll get Joe to serve for 2 years, and it just keeps going. And instead of looking to the qualifications of the man, we just look at as of it's your turn. I've served my turn, it's your turn. Well, there's no turns to it. You sit down to serve the Lord Jesus. And there should be no term to start or to finish. Your service should be continual. And if you meet with the requirements of the Word of God concerning what you should be and who you should be as far as a leadership position in the church, then fine, you better live up to it. But a lot of times, if you'll start to study the Word of God, you've just been born again, just been saved, you're studying the Word of God, and all of a sudden you get to looking and you say, wait a minute, that's not what they're not living that. They're not walking that. They're not teaching that. You need to question them. And if they says, well, we can't apply that. I've had folks here at this church tell me this before. They says, you know, we can't abide by those rules anymore. Oh, my friend, don't change the Word of God. We must abide by the Word of God. We must search the Word and study the Word and stand as close and as strong to the Word of God as we can. Don't compromise just because there isn't a man around that can fill that position and leave it open. Don't put somebody that's a young Christian or maybe even not a Christian at all, because then you'll have murmuring and disputing. My friend, it's important that we be blameless, harmless, no disputing, no murmuring, sons of God. Without rebuke, because my friend, as it said back here in 3 John, this man here was a good report, and of the truth itself. I love that, because then it's not just that man is judging you, but you are placing the Word of God as a judge. You're placing that to a place where you examine yourself with the Word of God. And I stand according to the Word of God, the truth, this man said in 3 John. As we look at where we're at in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Shine as lights in the world. You know, we go back, because in Genesis chapter 13, verse 7, Abraham and Lot had a lot of cattle, a lot of livestock, and they decided that there was beginning strife between their herdsmen. And so Abraham said, there cannot be any strife. And we need to learn from the Word of God. There cannot be strife. And the reason there cannot be strife, because this is a perverse and crooked nation. This is a perverse and crooked world. Among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Now we're going to begin there next week concerning the lights. Whom we shine as lights. It's very important, my friend, that we understand our responsibility. And I hope after the study today that you can understand not only the responsibility, maybe you've always known what you were supposed to be doing, but you just couldn't carry it out. When it comes to service, when it comes to the local church, when it comes to getting along and building one up, it can only be done through the love of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Please, if you're having trouble in any of those areas, turn unto the Lord Jesus. Pour over His Word. He will give you wisdom. He will give you the answer. And He will give you victory. My friend, now that we've talked about that, What are you going to do about Jesus?